We are back again for another episode of Sonic Reformation. Let me go ahead and correct myself. I said we. It is just me. Jeff's unable to make it in today, and Paul has a new job, so he's trying to get all of that straightened out. So it'll probably be another week or so before we get Paul back on the air. So again, you're just stuck with me. If you're hoping to hear Jeff and Paul today, well, you might as well go ahead and turn off the podcast, because again, you're stuck with Britt. But seriously, thank you guys so much. I wasn't serious before, but seriously. No, but thank you guys. We did take a 2-week break, and that was primarily my fault. It's just been a little crazy around here. And to be honest with you too, sometimes I just get burned out when it comes to the podcast. When it comes to just the polemical side of things, it's almost like, man, just got to step back for a moment or two. So again, thank you guys again for listening, tuning back in after our little 2-week break. So it seems like a lot has been going on over those 2 weeks that we've been gone. My phone kind of blew up when, by the way, we're just going to jump right into it. So here we go. My phone was blowing up probably about 2 weeks ago when Todd White is the dreadlock guy who was, he became well known when he started running around with Korn's bassist, that being Brian Head Welch. And he was following Brian Head Welch around at these Korn concerts, and he would be questioning the fans, asking if they had back pain, leg pain, all these types of pains. And what Todd White would do is he would lay the person down and perform a parlor trick on them. You know, the little trick where you can make it look like someone's leg is growing just by adjusting the shoe, the heel. So he was doing that, and he was claiming that if they're having low back pain, it was due to one leg being shorter than the other. I mean, just nonsense, just stupid stuff. So Todd then goes, let's see, when was this? I may not get the date exactly right, but we can get somewhere in the ballpark. It's July 26th. July 26th. Todd White is preaching, and in his message he makes this claim that he's been reading Charles Spurgeon and George Whitefield. And White was really stressing the need of repentance, the need of salvation. And he was even stating that he wasn't preaching the full gospel. And I mean, listening to him, he was emotional, but Todd White's emotional. He gets emotional just about every time he speaks. He's known to shed some tears. But the video caught a lot of people's attention because, again, White was stating that he hasn't been preaching the full gospel. And because he's been reading, you know, Whitefield and Spurgeon, some people were thinking, man, what's going on? I mean, is Todd repenting of his word, faith, prosperity, preaching and teaching? Is Todd White a true man of God who is going to be properly preaching the law and the gospel? It was interesting, people and how they were reacting to this man who for years leading up to this sermon, again, was doing nothing more than cheap parlor tricks. This is the same man who runs around with Kenneth Copeland, who calls him his spiritual mentor, yeah, Kenneth Copeland. the very one who claims that the weather listens to him, the very one who claims that when I am is in the Bible, it's actually speaking of the believer reading the scripture that Kenneth Copeland states that he is the I am, which is just heretical. Anyway, that's one of the men that Todd White runs around with. He also hangs out with Bill Johnson. If you want to find out, if you look up the charlatans of charlatans, Todd White hangs around those men. So again, just because of this one message, people were saying, man, this is something radical that's taking place. And guys, for those of you who actually know me, you know that I'm a pessimist. I consider myself a realist. And so when I watched the video, it was probably the best message he's ever given. But that's not saying a lot, because the bar is so low with Todd. So people were going crazy. And how all this started was the American Gospel is a documentary. And there's two. There's one that's going after the Word, Faith, Prosperity Gospel. And then there's another one entitled In Christ Alone, where it's pretty much going through the five solas. And so the American Gospel documentary calls out Todd White, calls his teaching demonic. And Todd, I don't know if he watched the whole film. I don't know how he could, because I'm going to play a video of his here in a few moments. And Todd claims that the American Gospel is all about him, which is extremely narcissistic, because it's not. It's calling him out. So some people were thinking, hey, maybe Todd watched American Gospel, started reading some sound theologians, and it's affected him. Which, to be honest with you, that's what I was praying would happen. But for that to truly be the case, one of the things that Todd would be doing right now is, you know, the message they gave on July 26th, the message should have gone something like this. He goes up on the stage. He tells the people that he's stepping away from the ministry, maybe for about 3 years, to follow in the footsteps of Paul. Meaning that, you know, that's what Paul did when Paul was blind and knocked off his horse by Jesus. Then Paul went away. He studied the word. And that's what Todd White should be doing. He shouldn't still be preaching. You know, Todd White, that day, July 26th, that's what he should have been telling the congregation. I'm stepping away for a time. I'm getting myself underneath some solid elders, which means he would have to leave the church that he was in, because there's no solid elders there, or else they wouldn't be allowing him to teach and preach. The other thing that he would have done that day in the message, or one of the things that he would have said on July 26th, would have gone something like this: I would also like to repent of the messages that I have been giving. What I mean is, he preaches the Word, Faith, Prosperity Gospel, which is a false gospel. So he should have repented of that. And then he also should have repented of all the false miracles that he was claiming he was doing. And that's what he should have said that day, July 26th. All that should have been in the message. And then bye-bye Todd White for a good period of time, long enough to where he is sitting underneath some solid elders and they're pouring into him and he's receiving what's being said. But none of that happened on July 26th. And then, if I'm not mistaken, I may be off on the dates, but a week later, Todd White comes back. And this is after some sound theologians were stating that, hey, maybe there is a change that's taking place. I was really surprised, and you guys know that I respect James White, but I was really surprised with the tweet that James White put out stating that, you know, maybe something is going on here, because in the message that Todd White gave on July 26th, he became emotional. And I'm paraphrasing here, but James White made a statement, and I can't remember who was responding to on Twitter, but he made the statement that, you know, when was the last time you got emotional sharing the gospel? I don't know. Sometimes I'm just kind of taken back at the lack of discernment with some people. That sounded really snarky there, didn't it? But James White was one of those men that I was like, man, you're giving a lot of credit to Todd White, considering what his past looks like, what he's done. And so a week later, I think it's a week later, Todd White is preaching again. And this is why I state that I think there are some people who jumped the gun by thinking that Todd White was finally going to be preaching the truth. So let me play this little clip here. And this is Todd White's title. Todd White responds to the American Gospel documentary. Now, remember, this is just a week later or 2 weeks later after some folks came out all excited about Todd White talking about Spurgeon and Whitfield and how he hadn't been preaching the full gospel. So here we go.
Taken with gratitude for people that have prayed for me and have said, man, he's going off. They made a movie called The American Gospel about me. None of them called me to talk to me. Not one of them asked me to share my heart.
All right, I got to jump in there for a second because that's a false statement. The director of the movie reached out to Todd White 3 different times and he has the emails to prove it. So Todd White, if he does come and repent of his word, faith, prosperity, preaching, and teaching, if he does come to repent of his parlor trickery when it comes to miracles, he's also going to have to repent for this statement right here and saying that the folks at American Gospel never reached out to him when the director did. I believe it was 3 different times that it's been documented they reached out so that Todd White could at least give his side of the story. And yeah, there you go.
One of them asked me what I believe. They assumed and put me into a place of guilt because of association and friends like Bill Johnson or Kenneth Copeland. Now all of a sudden, Todd's the biggest heretic on the planet, or Benny Hinn. Shame on you for not praying for me and talking to me, but making a movie thinking that you're God's police. You're gonna stand before a holy God and answer for your life of judgment and hate, and it's called murder. It's no different than racism.
Kind of confused there. One of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us is the gift of discernment. And Jesus speaks on calling out the false teachers. Paul speaks on calling out the false teachers. Todd White is a false teacher. When you run around with heretics such as Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn, Bill Johnson, and if you're not rebuking them, then you are one of them. And we've done numerous shows on Kenneth Copeland, Bill Johnson, and we've done some on Benny Hinn, too. Those are 3 primary examples of heretics. And like I said, Todd White even claimed that Kenneth Copeland is his spiritual mentor or spiritual father, something along those lines. So if you're running around with heretics and you don't see it, I'm afraid it's because you are one. See, there's nothing unbiblical about calling out false teachers. It's something that we are commanded to do. I'll tell you something else that's a bit strange. If you go back and watch his message from July 26th, and it's on YouTube. And like I said, there's parts of it where he does share the gospel, and I think it's a beautiful thing because I don't know how many people in that church have actually heard the gospel before. But this is what's so weird. You can listen to him sharing the message of the gospel, and there's no sound in the church whatsoever. But the moment he starts attacking the men who put the... Well, that kind of popped loud, sorry. But when he starts attacking the men who put together the American gospel, and when he starts giving the names of heretics and Todd starts defending them, then it seems as if the church starts to applaud and erupt. And I think that speaks volumes on what it is that this so-called church understands, and it's not the truth.
It's the same thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. And I don't understand how calling someone out for their false teaching is murder, which is the same thing as racism. That just doesn't follow. I don't know how you, logically, how that even works. And what Todd doesn't understand is by way of these men putting together the film American Gospel and using the solid teachers that are in it, that's one of the most loving things that you can do. It's not murderous. Murderous would be to allow this man to continue, Todd White, to allow him to continue preaching in the manner that he is preaching and not calling him out. But that's closer to murder than what it is the American Gospel folks did by calling out Todd White. Todd White is going to be the one standing before God who is going to be judged for what he said and did. Todd White is compared to the teacher who should have killed himself, in which Jesus talks about putting the millstone around his neck and throwing himself into the sea. Because Todd continues to teach a false gospel.
No love. You have no love. If you think that being God's police officer is love, you're wrong because you haven't prayed with vehement tears.
That makes no sense. You haven't prayed with the human tears. Again, the director of the American Gospel reached out to Todd two or three different times. Todd doesn't know that this man hasn't prayed for him. He's prayed for his soul, prayed that he would quit this horrendous teaching. The most loving thing that the American Gospel people did was expose Todd White. And that's exactly what they did. So you want to talk about love? That's love. That's love exposing a false teacher, exposing the wolf. And think about that. Think about that. The analogy that we're giving is the wolf in sheep's clothing. What does that mean? It means that the wolf devoured the sheep and covered themselves in their skin, Hannibal Lecter style. And that's what Todd White is. He is a wolf who is devouring the sheep, and he's made his way into the church, or the so-called church, wearing the sheep's flesh.
What does it mean to go after God in your prayer closet? Because that's where all this is. Lots of people have opinions, but do you have a prayer life? Are you really sold out? Are you really going after the Lord like you say you are? God sees everything. Everything is naked and open to Him. Everything. You're not hiding anything. He sees it all. We should be very careful about the things that we say about people. I don't feel bad at all. I feel, you have no idea how free I really am. When I came out on the stage tonight, there are people that are here that said he didn't repent, he didn't cut his hair. Shame on you. Bet you won't be back. I hope God cuts your heart. I really hope he cuts your heart. I love Jesus with all my heart. My life is a display of that. My actions are a display of that. My wife will tell you that I love the Lord. She sees me in my prayer closet. She sees how I talk. My kids will tell you that I love the Lord. I don't settle for anything less than Jesus. This isn't a defense of Todd. This is a, I've been spending time with God and I'm about ready to explode. Jesus is amazing and he wants us to see just how amazing he is.
It's sad. It's sad that Todd is that blind not to see the truth. And here's the thing. Here's the thing, guys, for you all listening. I pray that you pray for Todd. Because he's not in a good place. He's not in a good place. It's scary. It's scary. So continue to pray for Todd White and his, and that he repents and then steps away from the pulpit, walks away from the ministry, and gets under some solid elders that are able to pour into him so that he hears the true gospel. Yep. All right, moving on. Let me just play a clip right here, and I think it speaks for itself.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so happy to welcome you to the Grace Community Church Peaceful Protest.
All right, that is none other than John MacArthur, and that was from August. What's today's date? I don't know what today is. Anyway, today's Monday when I'm recording this, and this was from Sunday. So John MacArthur comes out, and of course, we've all heard Gavin Newsom is trying to shut down Grace Community Church. And why is that? Because Gavin Newsom being the governor of California, that there should be no large gatherings indoors. And John MacArthur is now disobeying that mandate. And he's able to do so because Gavin Newsom is not the head of the church. That is Jesus Christ. And what is it that we are commanded to do as believers? And that is to meet as a congregation, as a body of believers. And we are to fellowship and we are to worship. And so, if I'm not mistaken, it's probably been 2 or 3 weeks ago when John MacArthur willingly disobeyed Gavin Newsom's orders, opened up the church, and 3,000 people showed up. Now, what's interesting is once the pandemic, man, my peas are popping so loud, I apologize, guys. Once the pandemic popped on the scene, back in, it's either late February, early March, Grace Community Church shut down along with a lot of other churches. And, you know, it's one of those things where it was difficult during the beginning to know what to do. You know, we were being told that millions of people were going to die because of COVID, that this was going to be a world-changing event, this pandemic. So churches were being cautious because the church didn't want people dying in droves. Didn't want that. So thank God for the technology that we have today, and you're able to stream online, YouTube, Facebook. I'm missing some, but so what? So MacArthur did what a majority of churches did, and he took it online. Continued to preach the word, like MacArthur always does. But what's interesting is, Pastor MacArthur was stating that, you know, while he was doing this, they had a camera set up, and of course he'd go in and preach to an empty auditorium. But he said after a couple of weeks, people just started showing up, you know, and I think their church is 6,000 or 7,000 people, and the people just start trickling in and just to hear the solid preaching, to worship, to fellowship with each other. So it was official that the church was going to open back up, like I said, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And when they opened back up for that Sunday, and it's amazing to see it online, but when MacArthur comes out to preach, the auditorium is full. I'd say there's probably about 3,000 people in there. And I think they run two services. So I think they have about 3,000 in each service. But, you know, Gavin Newsom says, don't meet. MacArthur says, we're meeting because you're not Jesus, and Jesus, the head of the church, and Jesus commands us to meet. And this was after about 4 months. Well, I think that's about right. 4 or 5 months of them not meeting. So what happens? Well, Gavin Newsom gets word of this, of course. I mean, you hear about 3,000 people meeting, worshiping, singing. I think I only saw like one or two masks. I mean, I didn't look at everyone's face, but the majority of people there, their face wasn't covered. So the Newsom's plan is to now, by way of the local authorities, shut off their utilities, shut off the building's utilities, such as the water, if places continue to meet and disobey his mandate. So the next week, John MacArthur and Grace Community Church, they meet again. And so far, the water hasn't been shut off, but now they're looking to charge Grace Community Church $1,000 every day the church is open, and they have threatened to arrest Pastor MacArthur, who I believe is 81 years old now. So I played that 21-second video. So what MacArthur does yesterday is he comes out and he states that this is Grace Community Church peaceful protest, which is funny. It's funny, and it's pretty smart, because the state of California will allow hundreds of thousands of people to march through the streets, singing, ranting, and rioting, and nothing's done. So John takes a page out of their playbook and says, yeah, we're just meeting for a peaceful protest. It's pretty smooth. Yeah. So that's the update on Pastor MacArthur, Grace Community Church. I'll be shocked. Nah, I shouldn't say shocked. I'd be surprised. And I shouldn't say surprised either. I don't know what I would be. I don't think they'll arrest Pastor MacArthur. But I've been wrong before. I know that one of, Pastor MacArthur stated that his hero in the Bible is Paul, and said, you know, if he is arrested, he would love to, he would be honored to be arrested in the same manner in which his hero was, that being put in chains for preaching the gospel. So we'll see what happens there. Something that I find interesting, though, and I think it's probably been about 2 years ago when this whole social justice thing really started kicking off, and there were, I know, MacArthur, I think Phil Johnson, James White, Vody Bauckham, and I'm leaving out some names, but they got together and they wrote a statement against the social justice movement. And if you guys recall, there was I don't remember what the conference was that Pastor MacArthur held at Grace Community Church. But Phil Johnson, John MacArthur, Dever, Albert Moeller, I think Legan Duncan, and I'm leaving someone out, but they're all sitting up on stage. And so, of course, Phil Johnson, who is the editor for all of John MacArthur's books, and I think he's a teaching elder at Grace Community Church. But Phil Johnson was sitting up on stage again with Dever, Albert Moeller, Legan Duncan. I cannot remember for the life of me the other person, but and John MacArthur. So they're all sitting up there, and finally gets to the question where, you know, Phil Johnson asked why these gentlemen didn't sign this social justice statement that you know, it's not the gospel and it shouldn't be compared to the gospel. And Albert Moeller, Mark Dever, and I guess Duncan, but those three men refused to sign that statement that was put out that, you know, John MacArthur had a hand in and that Phil Johnson was part of, and Vody Bauckham, James White. And they got really upset on stage with Phil Johnson. I think you still find that video, and it's quite shocking and telling that Dever stated he doesn't sign any statement, and I'm paraphrasing, that, how do you put it, said something along the lines that any statement that comes out by way of social media, he's not going to be pressured into it. Again, paraphrasing here, that's what Mark Dever said. And yet, by way of social media, Mark Dever responds to John MacArthur opening the church up during this pandemic. And it's kind of like, huh, that's a bit hypocritical there. You wouldn't sign the social justice statement, or the, you know, the statement condemning social justice, because it was presented to you by way of social media, and you're not going to, you know, bow down to that or whatever the claim was. And yet Dever does respond again to John MacArthur opening his church. And he didn't respond in a, let's just say his response wasn't friendly to Pastor MacArthur. Mark Dever doesn't agree with the church opening. Dever's church isn't opened. And then Albert Moeller put out a piece. And it's, I think what's happened to Moeller is he's more of a politician now. We tend to see this with the intelligentsia. We know that Moeller's president over seminary. It's Southern. I always get this one confused. I always get Southern and Southeastern. Everything starts running together after a while. It's kind of sad. Most people should just know that. Yeah, he's the president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Sorry, I got Southern and Southeastern just going in my head. But Yeah, Albert Mueller responds in a way that's more of a politician answering a question, almost as if he was playing both sides. It's just, it's really strange that these guys seem to be close at some point in time. And now you have the likes of Dever and Mueller, you know, not backing MacArthur, not standing behind him. And it's almost as if you saw that separation take place a couple of years ago with the whole social justice statement. Just kind of interesting how you... And MacArthur's the exception. I feel like I'm kind of rambling here, but MacArthur's kind of the exception here because, you know, he too was president of Master Seminary. And it's almost like once they get to that level to where they're in the ivory towers of the Christian educational world, they just become so full of themselves that they're not ever wrong. And you can't ever go against them. And if you go against them, then they're going to have to crush you with their intellect. And it's kind of what we're seeing. You know, MacArthur is going against, well, he's gone against their whole social justice stance. He's gone against the intelligentsia there. And now by opening the church and going against the governor, you know, Dever and Mueller are like, how dare you go against the government? You know, well, if the government's telling you to do something that's not godly, then yeah, we're supposed to do that. That's what we're called to do. We don't bow the knee to the government. That's strange. We live in some strange times. Strange times. And, you know, the good thing, as, you know, being a believer, is during these strange times that at least we know that God is sovereign and he's reigning and ruling. And everything is taking place exactly as he planned for it to, ordained for it to. But you just wonder where the men are when MacArthur's being attacked, and it's like they're nowhere to be found. The intellects are not standing behind their boy. No, they're just leaving MacArthur out there to take the shots. It's sad. It's really sad. It's the world we live in. It's another reason why I don't believe in seminaries. And I'm a hypocrite because I graduated from one, but there's really no need in seminaries. And I really can't find anywhere in Scripture where we're called to go off to a school and learn from those who aren't our elders. You know, Scripture tells us that if one is called to preach, then they should be handled by the elders of the church, their local church, their home church. That's who they should be sitting under. They shouldn't have to, you know, go off to a school, go in debt, pay thousands of dollars to be taught the gospel. And why can't their church do that? I mean, what's going on? Well, how have we gotten to this point? Johnny's been called to preach and teach. Well, great. Go across the country. Spend thousands of dollars. Sit underneath men that you do not know. Let them teach you on how to be a elder, pastor, teacher. No. Don't go to your local church elders, your home church elders. Now go somewhere else. Maybe it's just a couple hundred miles away. I don't know. Maybe you live close to a seminary. It's just a 30-minute drive. But regardless, I see nowhere in Scripture where we're taught to do that. But that's what we do. Go sit underneath the intelligentsia. It's strange, isn't it? It is strange. Strange times. Seems like it's getting stranger. What do you do? What do you do? Let's see if I can pull this. We'll go one more story here. I think it's kind of strange. I need to quit using the word strange. Said that quite a bit. Let us see. You guys know who Sean King is? Let's see. This is from the Washington Sentinel. And this just makes me shake my head. Black Lives Matter leader now says white people's churches should all come down. Black Lives Matter spokesman Sean King claims that the next step in so-called social justice is to tear down all white people's churches. Well-known agitator and Black Lives Matter spokesman Sean King claims that the next step in so-called, I just read that part, but it says again, tear down all white people's churches. In a pair of tweets, sorry about that pop, man, I gotta do something about this. In a pair of tweets posted Monday, King explained that white churches are little else but white supremacy writ large. Yes, I think the statues of the white European they claim as Jesus should also come down, the hate speech advocate belched. They're a form of white supremacy, King added. Always have been. In the Bible, when the family of Jesus wanted to hide and blend in, guess where they went? Egypt, not Denmark. Oh, first, that's just stupid. They didn't. Goodness gracious, they didn't go to blend in. Denmark. I think they could go to Denmark. Denmark didn't even exist then. Oh, man. So Sean King interprets that when Joseph and Mary took Jesus so that he wouldn't be slaughtered, that they went to blend in. That's not why they went there. Tear them down, he concluded on his first tweet. But he was not done. To make it crystal clear that he was advocating for the bulldozing of churches just like the Nazi Party did in the 1930s, King continued. All murals and stained glass windows of white Jesus and his European mother and their white friends should also come down, King continued, advocating for burning down the churches. They are a gross form of white supremacy, he wrote, created as tools of repression, racist propaganda. They should all come down, he reiterated. Sean King is a scam artist from way back, of course. About 10 years ago, he began making a name for himself as a black writer. He claimed to be black for a decade before people realized that both his parents are white and he just affected a fake black persona. In the meantime, he was able to finagle a job as a Black Lives Matter representative and social justice reporter for The Intercept and The Appeal. But make no mistake, America, he is voicing exactly what the terroristic Black Lives Matter movement wants to do. They have already nearly finished taking down all the statues to white people, regardless of what those whites did to earn a statue. Next, they will be coming to burn down your churches and outlaw your religion. None of this is about racism. It is all about destroying the United States of America. That's interesting. Let's see, when was this published? It's published 2 months ago, June 23rd. 2020 by Warner Todd Houston. I'm going to look this up about Sean King. I know his parents were white. I mean, he looks white. But I thought one of his parents was black. Let's see. King was raised in Kentucky and attended Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia. While at Morehouse, King was elected president of the Student Government Association, was awarded the Oprah Winfrey Scholarship. Let's see here. King was born and raised in Kentucky, although his birth certificate names Jeffrey Wayne King as the father. King stated in 2015 that his mother told him his actual biological father is a light-skinned black man. by second grade King's mother, Naomi K. Fleming. King was raising King and his brother as a single parent. King attended Hunterton Elementary School. So, man, that's kind of interesting. That's interesting. So, I don't know if his father is a light-skinned black man or not. But King also was a pastor. King left teaching and worked as a pastor at Total Grace Christian Center in DeKalb County, Georgia. He had been inspired to become a pastor when he was in high school. While King was recovering from injuries after an assault, King was regularly visited by his best friend's father, who was a pastor. He recalled growing up, without a father figure, and said, "I just found myself so impacted by this man coming to visit me in 2008, blah, blah, blah. Alrighty. Man. So this racist is also, he was a pastor, and now he's gone into journalism, where he's an advocate for Black Lives Matter. And for some odd reason, he is, he's been embraced by certain individuals inside the church. So, well, guys, that's really all I got. That's all I got. I promise the show will be better next week when we got, hopefully, well, I know Jeff should be back. And Paul, once he gets his new job straightened out, figured out, learns the ropes, we'll get him back in here as well. So again, thank you guys for listening. Grace and mercy to all. And we'll talk to you next week.